Have you ever wanted to play in a campaign similar to the Noctprone Dead Season where you are in a realm filled with spirits? If yes, then I have the perfect product for you. Explore the realm beyond the veil with the Book of Spirits, an ethereal 5e supplement on Kickstarter now. This supplement is inspired by legendary titles like Dragon Age and Stormlight Archive. The Book of Spirits is a sourcebook that expands your world with a new realm of magic. With over 50 spirit creatures, 7 brand new subclasses, an entirely new class, and tons of encounters and resources for you to run a game in the spirit realm. Follow the link in the episode description where you can find this 200 plus page book with illustrated encounter maps, incredibly detailed miniatures, and an entire original soundtrack to immerse your players in this mystical adventure. Back the Book of Spirits today on Kickstarter.
Ugh, another pointless video call where nothing gets done. I think you're on mute, David.
Sorry. What did I miss?
IT just approved Miro for the whole company.
Miro? That's the...
online whiteboard. For team collaboration. We can make these long video meetings so much shorter with Miro boards. We can share ideas, feedback, and updates on them whenever. Actually see what we're talking about.
It's all online.
Miro will make our flexible work setup so much easier. With one virtual space for our brainstorms, projects, presentations.
Oh, that sounds kind of amazing. So I don't need to wake up for 6 a.m. calls with the London office anymore.
Now you're getting it.
Don't let time zones get in the way of your team working well together. See why 99% of the Fortune 100 trust Miro to get good work done from anywhere. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Knocked Prone is a clean, chaotic, and deep podcast for D&D nerds. Check out more ways to support our show in the episode description.
Last time on Knocked Prone.
So, like, do you want this to happen to all the Driders or just, like, this Drider?
Do it.
Cured of your Drider poisoning.
You said the whispered one is Vecna. A-V-A-N-I-M-E-C. If you mix it around a little, I am Vecna. We know that Avani is not who she says she is. We know that Orcus is exactly who he says he is.
My brother worships another god, and I don't know anything about him.
Thorn, who do you follow, and what would he do with power?
Zag, I follow Amalek, my past life reincarnate. You should make me, Thorn, a god. I will ascend to my true form.
I think I know what I have to do.
Neither of them seem like great options. Is this all we have?
I would rather go with a god that I know than a god that I know nothing about.
Zag's gonna sit down again, crisscross applesauce, close his eyes, and he's gonna try and communicate with his uncle Kaelin.
Zag, help me! My body is torn to pieces! My soul is ripped to pieces! Save me! Save me! Save me!
And he is going to try and communicate with Orcus.
My uncle's in torment. Could you help him?
I will see what I can do.
Not good enough. I bestow the power of godhood to Thorn Fernhollow.
Whether you're a halfling, a giant or somewhere in between,
on the
table with your friends, playing Dungeons and Dragons,
not
and if life ever knocks you down, your dice will surely turn around.
Not
besides, it's time to quest, let's put your characters to the test.
My name is Cade, the host and dungeon master of this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition adventure, and I'm joined here by the characters to my left.
Alec playing Zach.
Mason playing Grom.
Marissa playing Ephemia.
And Brooklyn playing Celine.
We're going to join you guys in the Paydirt Inn. Zag has just awoken from his trance where he has assigned his brother, Thorn, to be the new god of the Ten.
have Aphemia and I walked in yet? Are we walking in? Like,
oh,
like,
yeah, where you and Aphemia walked in as Zag made the announcement.
Right, okay.
I told you you could do it. Now, let's get a drink to celebrate. Quick!
No! Yes? No! No!
Zag, I thought we were going to discuss this. We had a whole day.
What about our discussions?
I thought we were confused about it. He just solved that problem.
Wait, Thorn.
You made your brother a god?
Isn't Thorn the leader of that, like, cult church?
Isn't Thorn the brother that you have never met? And Aphemia's just gonna rub her temples and try to calm down.
He's his twin, so they're the same person, so it should be all right. We can trust him, we can trust Thorn.
thank you, Grom. Guys, gather around. I think it's time I tell you more about who I am. I didn't want my past to define me, and I thought I could escape it, but I can't. Before my uncle died, he told me about where I came from, but said it needed to be kept a secret. But I feel safer with the three of you than with anyone else. I think you all deserve to know. My full name is Zagreus Fernhollow. My brother and I are descendants of an incredibly powerful, but terribly evil wizard named Amalek. We come from an island country off the coast of the Badlands, and a long line of kings have ruled there through the generations and believe in the old ways and forbid magic. My mother and my uncle lived there and practiced their abilities in secret. The current king, King Bane, is my father. We were not meant to be born. When my mother found that she was pregnant, she and my uncle fled to the Badlands to give her child a chance at life, but when she gave birth to twins, they separated. My mother took Thorn, and my uncle took me to raise us in secret. My mother was captured and executed, but somehow Thorn survived. My father has dedicated much of his life to hunting us, as we were his firstborn sons and the heirs to his throne. My uncle is trapped in Shadowfell, and his soul is fractured into several pieces. I still don't know entirely how my powers work, but I know they are connected to Amalek and these soul stones somehow. Kaelin was the father I never had. He taught me everything and sacrificed everything to keep me safe. I need to gather the fragments of his soul and find a way to end his suffering in Shadowfell. I think Thorn as a god of the Ten gives me the best chance of making that happen. I hope you'll all understand why I did what I did. Because I had to.
Zag, I don't really understand everything, but I also don't know that you understand what you just did.
He's my brother, and like I said, if I have any chance of gathering the fragments of my uncle's soul and restoring them and getting him out of his torment, I think Thorn gives me the best chance to do that.
But can you confirm that Thorn is on your side? That is a brother you do not know. That man is a stranger to you. And I completely understand why in the moment you might have thought that that was the best decision. But could you have not taken a few hours to choose? Because a god is not a short-term decision.
He's his brother, and he knows that he helped him get godhood, so maybe he'll like us more. Maybe he'll be nice and give us gifts.
Thank you, Krom.
No one is truly nice. I'll be honest, like, Aphemia understands his decision, because she was also trying to push that for what she understands were some selfish reasons, but she also knew that she was protecting the party in that scenario, whereas now she can't guarantee anything, but she also can't guarantee that she can get to see her mom again, and so she's fuming on the inside.
As Aphemia, you are, like, feeling this unhappiness in your demeanor. You're also feeling like this pulling at the back of your mind, and you feel like eventually you will have another meeting with Orcus.
There it is.
Yes, in the near future, it will be happening.
Yeah, I figured.
Looking at Aphemia, I know what I did might have been selfish. It was a decision I made for me and not for us. I understand that, but I know you want to see your mom again, and you know you want to protect us, and I will help you. Whatever I can do to help you, I will.
I don't know that you can do that anymore.
Zag's gonna look down and kind of shrug his shoulders and just say kind of to himself, like, I know.
At the end of it all, the decision's been made. So we will deal with the consequences as they come up. And as crazy as it seems, this is not the only thing on our plate right now. Zag, honestly, I understand that family can be everything. And if you trust your brother, I hope that he can follow through.
I'll clap Zag's shoulder and just say, I trust you. If you think this was the best decision, then I think it was.
Zach's gonna give Grom a big hug and just, thank you, brother. Thank you.
What are we going to do about the brothers?
The Dagger
Brothers. We're supposed to report back today.
The clock is ticking, and I really don't know I mean, if we don't turn him in, what's the Senate Corps going to do? I'm tired of being connected with them. They just seem like trouble to me, but...
I agree.
I have no more chances. Taking the Digger Brothers and dealing with Ascendant now is my only chance. Zag, I didn't even get a chance to explain to you. Orcus offered me to see my mom. He offered us all safety, and I was trying to do that. And I understand you can't take back that decision, but the consequences are going to mainly lay on me, it feels like.
What can I do to help?
We can go get the Digger Brothers. We just have to take the elevator back down.
Are any of the Dryder issues, all cured. Are there any problems with that?
Or there are no more Dryder problems. Literally, Dryders have been erased from the Earth. Everyone who is a Dryder,
Arachnia
because
Blue somewhere,
Arachnia
right?
Blue, everyone is no longer a Dryder. They are now the race that they were before they turned into a Dryder.
Yeah, we made big time.
You made moves. A big decision last session.
So we know a lot has gone on. We don't know the consequences to making Thorn a god or what will happen with the Digger Brothers or anything. I just think we need to make the best decisions we can.
I think you're all a bit too stressed and need a drink. Drink.
Exactly. Yes. Drinks. And he pours 5 drinks for you guys and then takes one himself because he realizes he miscounted. Spreads them out throughout the bar table and he says, "This one's on me. You seem like you had a big day."
Phemia's just pushing her drink to the side, so it's not in front of her anymore.
Zag's gonna take it and hand it to Grom.
I'll have 3 drinks now in front of me. And I'll just like have 2 in one fist and 1 in the other and just sipping from them all equally.
I will sip my drink.
The Digger Brothers, what are we doing about them?
I have an idea. Why don't we call them?
Yes, your ideas.
You love my... Oh, that's sarcasm.
Phemia. Yes.
That's sarcasm. I understand.
We're still a team.
Zag's holding back tears. He's gonna pull his rune crystal phone out of his pocket. Does he have the Digger Brothers information?
You notice that the Digger Brothers did put their phone number into your phone before you guys left.
Okay, well, I'm gonna dial up Bodega.
Just to keep in mind, the phones are a form of crystal. So... likely they are monitored, so be careful what you say.
People are listening in these rune crystals constantly.
Wait, so constantly meaning not only during phone calls?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
Ephemia is just going to reach over and quickly press the end button on the phone and kind of slam it down on the table. Zag, you realize everything we do is tracked. Everything.
By Vecna, not Avani.
Yeah. Yes, yes, you're right.
This is going to be listened to.
Wait, they hear us when we're not talking on the phone?
They hear us all the time.
Maybe we shouldn't have picked up these phones.
Yeah, should we destroy these?
Here's the thing, though, guys. I feel like they're everywhere.
You see Grom smashing it with his hammer already. Yeah, no questions asked.
And Craig comes in and starts hitting it with the hammer as well.
Curious, though, are there rune crystals noticeable in this bar?
This bar seems like a super dead zone. Craig is like a technology is the thing that's going to one day take over our world and does not trust anything sold by Ascended Corp.
And from a meta standpoint, this is more of like a den of outcasts type place where those who want to stay under the radar go.
Yes, the seediest of bars, the dive
Perfect.
Bar.
Well, I think Zag's going to follow suit. He's going to throw his phone on the floor and start smashing it. Probably having a hard time with his lack of strength to smash it. And he's going to step aside and look at Grom.
Out my second hammer and...
I just want to throw out there that most places we go, there are rune crystals. I think we have to be really, really careful about that. But it seems like here might be safe. Craig... do you have any rune crystals around here?
No, I couldn't trust the things. I hear that they give you earworms, and those things lay babies in your ear.
Yes.
It's not pretty.
Yeah, and then they give information to the people who know the people who make UFOs.
Wow.
And Bigfoot.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you so
much. I've seen him before.
Bigfoot?
Yeah. Bigfoot. He's a dwarf with a really big foot. Just
like
one.
Like normal sized foot on a dwarf?
Yes.
It's terrifying.
Wow.
The horror.
All right. Well, now that we don't have our phones, are we going to go get the Digger Brothers? Are we just going to leave them be? I mean, what's the plan, guys?
I can't leave them be.
We promised them gold and safety.
And we also promised to bring them back to Avani.
Right. Do we know where we would even find them?
They're probably still in the Underdark.
They said they were going back home.
Well, I mean, we've made a few connections, so people probably know where they are. They're obviously well known, so...
Dagger Brothers? Oh yeah. My gosh! And he hits the TV that's right next to him, and you see...
Wheel of Umber!
And the Dagger Brothers are running through the obstacles, and he's like, oh, they're on the TV every week! Dagger Brothers, they're the home team.
I say we go find them. We know where they are.
Are we all gonna make it down that elevator shaft again?
The elevator's broken, but the rope is still there, right?
Yeah.
I can climb down.
Me and Ephemia talked to those brothers last time. Maybe me and her should head down there and...
I could go by myself.
Let's go together.
All right, so you guys head out of the Pay Dirt Inn and head towards the elevator shaft down to the Underdark. You see that the elevator attendee there has duct taped the rope perfectly. It's immaculate, back in shape. And he says,
"Two people to go down to the Underdark? Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, hop on the elevator if you want."
Zag's gonna inspect his work and say, "You are a master craftsman, my sir. Good sir."
It's all in the duct tape. Dwarven duct tape. Strongest duct tape to ever live.
Zag steps right on.
Seems super trustworthy. And Ephemia just rolls her eyes and walks back on the elevator.
All right. 3, 2, 1, jump!
Zag jumps.
Ephemia does not jump.
All right, Ephemia, make me a dexterity saving throw.
Oh my goodness.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
I got a 10.
A 10. You don't jump, but you effortlessly glide like the gravity has no effect on you. And you lay with your back against the top of the elevator shaft as both of you free fall to the bottom of the Underdark. And both take 0 damage. You make it to the very bottom in 6 seconds flat.
Master Craftsman. How you doing up there, Ephemia? You should have jumped. You need to put your trust in strangers like I do.
I need to put my trust in no one.
Let's go find the brothers.
Fine.
You guys head back to the set of Wheel of Umber. It takes you about 5 minutes to get to the Wheel of Umber set. Are you guys talking about anything as you go?
Ephemia is being silent at first.
Hey, are you okay?
Ephemia is just going to stop in her tracks and look directly at Zag. No, I am not. Okay.
Is this about your mom?
Yes, it is. That was my one chance. My one chance. Zag, I don't trust Ivani any more than anyone does. But I was trying to go along with it because Grom got to see his mom. You're trying to put the pieces of your uncle's soul back together. And I have nothing to go off of other than what Ivani has told me. I was at least promised one way out. One way out. And that is gone now.
One way out of what?
One way out of having to make the deal with Ivani for my mother's information.
Well, like I said, I know what I did was selfish. And
it was.
It was selfish. It was for me. It was for my family. And I didn't take into account everybody's. And I'm sorry about that. But I can't change it.
I know.
I don't think I would change it. I have to do this. But that doesn't mean I'm not your friend and that I won't help you however I can.
I can't say that I wouldn't have had made the same decision. I can't say that my decision would have been entirely selfless. But I am at least going to ask is that if we're a team, that we act like it. If we are going to go along, we consider everyone's needs. Everyone's. I understand you were put in a tight position, but saying you want to help me after the fact, I do believe you, Zag, but I just don't know how possible that is. And I just at least want you to understand if we are going to go about this together, we need to actually do everything together. If we all want to reach our end goal, there's going to have to be give and take. And I feel like all I've done at this point is give. All I've done is follow everyone else's needs, trying to get every other person's information, and mine keep falling by the wayside. Why am I here?
I understand how you're feeling. I really do. I promise you I'm going to help. And I don't think I realized that we've all been kind of working on our own things. Even as a group, we've all been working towards our goals and the things that we want to accomplish. Your search for your mother has gone. You haven't made any progress whatsoever. I understand. I didn't see it before, and that makes me a bad friend. But I'll be a better friend going forward. I'll find a way. I promise.
As you guys are going towards the Dega brothers, we're going to rejoin Grom and Celine, who are still in the Paydirt Inn.
I like to stay level-headed in the face of crisis, but that's been rather hard, you know, in the past little while. So why don't you bring me around Briggeroon? Show me your hometown while we wait.
He has the three tankards still that he's just like... slams it down.
As you slam down one of your drinks, two dwarves walk in, and you recognize them to be two people that you actually went to dwarven high school with. Their names are Gutrug and Vladrick, and on each of their arms they have like these prom queens. These are four people who peaked in high school, and they walk in and they're like, "Hey, I thought I might find you here. Grom, I saw you on TV."
Celine.
Gutrug, you remember me, right, bro?
Yes, this is my friend. She's known as the Butcher.
I'm like secretly very relieved you use that name. It just feels like the right crowd, you know? I reach out my hand to shake.
Butcher, nice to meet you. I'm glad he didn't put best before that, because that is meant for me, bro. Chacho. Gutrug, best friend of Grom here.
Yes, these are some friends of mine from before I went fighting. We used to hang out and do great things.
Man.
Lots of tussles and stuff.
Lots of me setting up the football, you pulling it away, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Ha ha ha! Or the other way around!
Yes, yes. Well, this has been great, but I don't like this place. We should go somewhere else.
We were just heading. I'm like,
Vladrick and I were thinking the same thing. This place is bogus. Yo, Grom, bro, I don't even think you got fitted for your mithril armor yet, did you?
No, I didn't. No, of course not. I still need to do that.
Oh, yeah. Me and Vladrick here, we were just saying we should totally get you into mithril armor right now. What do you think? Like, go to the fitting room, get you fitted up? Dude, you forgot your friendship bracelet before you left. He hands you a cuff, like a little golden cuff that you see, and it says BFFs on it.
How silly of me, and
I'll take it and put it on.
Butcher, do you mind?
Yeah, it seems like it'd be helpful for your fight next week.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm going to just push in front of Grom a little bit and say, well, it doesn't seem like you boys know. Grom is actually quite the celebrity in Greyhaven, so he's kind of moved on to, you know, bigger, better fights nowadays, so maybe you'll watch him on TV sometime.
Oh, we know all about Grom's fights. Look, and he pulls down his shirt a little bit, and on his chest there's a squiggle that you recognize to be what Grom tries to make his signature every time.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, I got it tatted on my chest, bro. Wow, Grom and I were great buddies, and he gives you like a little wink as he says that.
Wow. Oh, right. Well, I guess they seem to be pretty big fans, Grom.
Yes, it's good to have support from home. Thank you. You said something about mithril then.
Mithril armor, bro. Yeah, it's gonna have your name on the back of it and everything. You know, Grom, Iron Fist. Iron Fist's gonna be on the back. What's your favorite number? We could put like a football jersey on it too.
Can I make an insight check?
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, I think you know what I'm insighting.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, actually decent for Grom. 16.
With an insight of 16, these guys were never nice to you in high school. It's very odd that they're being nice to you right now.
Do I feel like the one thing I'm more looking towards is, do they seem malicious in their intent? Like, is this a prank that I'm typically subjected to, or is this a seem to be like something they're genuinely changing heart of.
Throughout high school, you were constantly tormented by Gutrug and Vladrick. They would often take sucker punches at your expense until one day you snapped and fought them back and beat them. You remember Gutrug swearing vengeance towards you, Grom. With your insight of 16, roll me a perception check with advantage.
10.
10?
Yeah.
Well, with a 10, you still see there are bags of money in their pockets. Take that as you will.
I don't think Grom would connect the two.
All right, well, I think the armor would be very helpful.
Yeah, you're going to fight in the ring? Potentially against that big old giant? Holy crap, dude. Well, you've been around since we've been... Remember when we used to tussle and you used to let us win? Yeah.
Yes, good times. We can show Butcher around the city.
We'll have to go to our old haunts. And he gives you another wink.
So I'm curious because, I mean, just roleplay-wise at the table, I can tell things are weird, you know? Like, just something's up. You know, what can I don't know what I can do to see or what I would even know is like off about this, but it obviously feels off.
If you'd like to roll me an insight check as well with advantage, since Grom also passed his insight check.
That's a natural 20 on my first roll, and I have a +4 to insight.
From your insight check for Grom, you can see that typically he has a very chest out, commanding presence. You can see in this moment the persona has faded and he seems to be shrinking.
Okay.
And with a nat 20, you notice that Gutrug and Vladrick have some malice in their eyes. They're not necessarily being friendly to Grom. They're kind of being like the popular kid type of friendly of like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I love your hair like that. And then they don't actually mean it. You also notice with your nat 20 that they do seem like they've been paid off by Ascended Corp. They have, Ascended Corp money in their pockets currently.
I did not catch that.
Okay, can I roll a stealth check to try to like kind of turn my back towards them and say a quick sentence to Grom?
As a rogue, for sure.
17.
Ooh. A 17. You are definitely able to pull Grom aside before either Gutrug or Vladrick is able to notice.
Okay. Grom, we don't have to go with them. I don't know anything about these guys, but I don't trust them.
Oh, no. These are my friends. Besides, they have mithril armor. We should go with them. It'll be good to have extra security. I'm well known around the city.
You can tell he's lying through his teeth, basically.
Okay.
I don't even know what to do.
You guys head on out with Gutrug and Vladrick and their girlfriends on each of their arms, Elka and Dolga. As you guys are heading towards the mithril armor shop, we're going to go back with Zag and Ephemia. You guys have just made it onto the set of The Wheel of Umber. The Daga brothers are just finishing one of their episodes, and they look over at you guys and say,
Ah, you guys are back so soon. Did something go wrong? Are we okay? What's going on?
Have you seen your mom?
No, dude, we've been on set for 2 episodes straight.
I think we fixed it. I think we fixed her.
Really?
Yes. Ephemia and I, well, Ephemia, I didn't do anything. Ephemia, she cured all of them, all of the Driders.
He opens up his rune crystal phone. He mini scries his mom into a video chat and says, Ma, are you okay? And she's like, you bonehead! Who do you think's on the other end of this video call? Angel? No, it's me, Emma! I look great! What are you doing? Why aren't you here next to me? You said you'd be here when I woke up.
And they continue to have a conversation. By this interaction, you notice that their mother is completely cured of Drider poison.
Even with what you just said, Zag's gonna say, Oh my, it must not have worked. There's no way your mother would be like that if she wasn't a Drider.
Oh no, she's a princess like this. What are you talking about?
Okay, she's better.
Yeah, I guess we'll go pick up our ma and we'll be off to the canyon you guys said.
Yes. Thrycreen Canyon. Do you know how to get there?
Yeah, and you said Flippy was the name of that person?
Tippy. He might be a dog. He might be a half-orc.
Oh, wonderful. I will look for every dog in the place. I will speak to it. I'll say Tippy, okay?
Okay.
That sounds perfect. Good. Great. Okay. Thank you guys so much.
How many credits do you need?
None. If you're really asking, we're okay. It's our mom's birthday today. You guys have done everything you could, so really, I am forever in your debts, you know? You ever need a favor, you call on Vinny, Louie, and Bo, okay? The Dega brothers, you have us on speed dial. I got your contact in my phone already.
Oh.
Ephemia is going to reach in her bag and pull out 400 Badland credits.
Holy.
Wonderful.
Just gently hand it over.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
Take care of your mother the best you can.
Of course, of course. And you take care of this bonehead here, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Zag was planning on trying to give them money, but his jaw just freaking hit the floor with Ephemia offering them that many credits, and he is stunned and cannot speak.
Hey, well, you guys take care of each other. I hope you have a very nice life. And you know what? Hey, take 20 back. Here's for the honeymoon fund, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I read the room wrong again? Oh, my goodness. I thought I was putting on the charm.
No. Oh, no. She's my friend, and I kind of think I might owe her a life debt. I don't totally know. But, yeah, we're not like that.
Wherever you guys end up, just remember, you saved the family's life today. My ma will forever be changed because of you. All the dividers out there that got cured because of you, they'll never forget the names. Zag and Ephemia. I'll make sure that they never forget, okay? You ever visit Thrycreen? I'll make sure that they know, okay? We'll make a name for ourselves.
Okay.
The Dega Brothers in the Canyon.
I know you will.
Yeah, Dega Canyon. Here we come.
We'll take care of the rest. Zag's going in for a predator handshake, you know, like the forearm.
Yeah, clean, like slap with it, like, you know, as you guys are giving each other a predator handshake. And he looks at you straight in the eyes. You guys take care now, okay? Gosh, what can I do for you?
Well, you don't have to worry about that. Tell you what, if I ever come visit you in the canyon, buy me a beer and we'll call it even.
Ah, deal. Louis, Vinny, we should get you a tongue transplant. We got.
And the Dega brothers disappear, leaving the Underdark to start their new lives.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
We're going to go back to Celine and Grom. You guys have showed up to this warehouse. It says with a sign on it, the Mithril Armor Shop.
Throughout the walk, you've seen Grom kind of slowly convince himself that this is all okay. And he is kind of back to his more confident self. And he seems to actually be happy. He's smiling and even starts a small conversation with Gutrug and Ladrick, who are while they're walking.
Because they're chatting and everything, I'm just going to fall behind so that I can just kind of observe from the back, since I'm kind of wary of these people.
The two girlfriends also fall behind with you. So you are now walking with Elka and Dolga, and they're like, oh my gosh, isn't it so cute of Gutrug to be like taking Grom under his wing? It's so adorable.
So I'm totally going to play this up like I'm down to be pals with these people because I think they're a threat. I'm curious if they notice at all, like, my actual distrust for them.
Yeah, roll me a deception check.
I have a +8 to deception. I rolled a natural 1.
Oof. Oh, no. You kind of make your voice high like theirs, like, ah, yeah. And you awkwardly pause for too long, and then they start whispering to each other, like, oh my gosh, is she like a narc? Oh my gosh, she's a narc. We should go hang out with the boys instead. And then they walk away from you. This Mithril factory, this Mithril armor factory, it's abandoned. Like, it doesn't look like it's open right now. And then Gutrug looks at you, Grom, and is like, buddy, I think you gotta hop the fence, dude.
Oh. It's, of course, it's got to be a secret, right? Yeah. We can't have people knowing that.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Oh, Grom.
I'll boost you and everything,
no,
dude.
I don't think we should be hopping over any fences. We really don't want to get in trouble. Also,
are you a narc?
No.
Buddy, you're friends with a narc?
You know what? You know what? Labels, I don't really care. But we need to stay around because our friends are coming back soon. And we can't be scaling walls while they could be here any minute now. Right, Grom?
She does make a point.
Yeah.
We are waiting for One of my best friends. His name is Zach. He's a really cool fellow.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't even look good in mithril armor if I'm being honest.
Look, dude.
Like, you seem like you might be a little too scrawny for it, actually.
If you want Grom to have mithril armor so bad, you can bring it to him. Like he deserves.
Bro, I'll go after him. He goes first, though. Like, that's part of initiation.
I will not be having Grom participating in any kind of initiation. There's nothing he needs to be having
climbing up the fence and...
I'm still going to keep going. There's nothing he needs to be initiated for. He is already worthy of everything that he has.
You hear, like, on the other side, as he just doesn't know how to climb down the fence and just goosh as a bunch of armor hits the ground.
Yo, Narc, I think he's on the other side already. Calm down. And then they start climbing the fence as well. Are you following with Celine?
Yes, actually. I'm going to try to get like a little bit of space from them. I'm going to like move like 15 feet down the wall. Definitely grumbling and very frustrated. But I'm going to follow Grom and then try to stick with him.
Roll me a perception check as you get to the top of the fence, Celine.
12.
With a 12... A rune crystal zooms into your location and is trained on you right now as you climb this fence.
All right.
And you guys make it into the mithril armor shop, and Gutrug and Vladrick start putting armor on you. They start fitting you for armor. They run a tape measure around you, and they're like, dude, what have you been up to since high school? You haven't even called us.
I'm sorry. And I'll be like, during this time, I'll be doffing my current heavy armor so that I can put something else on. And
well, actually, after our last fight, I was contacted by a giant man. I can't remember his name. But he offered me a position in the punch bowl. And so I went and I did it and I've won.
Yeah, bro. Me and Vladdy were kind of jelly after you left us, you know? You beat us in that fight. I mean, like, we let you win and everything. But then you got picked up professionally. That kind of sucked. Hey, ladies. You know, our buddy Grom here is changing into his new armor. So, like, could you give us a second alone?
The good news is that I don't think Grom minds, but I will be staying here. We are a team, and we will not be separating.
Okay, whatever you say. You continue doffing your armor?
Yeah, I think it takes a total of 1 minute to doff. Once that's done, I'll be like,
all right, where was the mithril that you were talking about?
Oh, yeah, I think it's in the back room. You want to come get it with me?
Yes, let's go.
I follow. Yeah.
And so as you are following Celine into the next room, you see Vladrick throws his foot in front of Grom to trip Grom into the next room, and Gutrug jumps on top of Grom. Roll me initiative.
Can we consider this a surprise round for Grom? Because I don't think he would have been suspecting this. I think he convinced himself that these guys were actually his friends.
Yeah, of course.
7.
Natural 1.
Oh, no.
Two in a session. Gotta get some new dice.
Right. These are good dice. They treated me well.
No, they're not.
They just need some time in dice jail.
With a natural 1, Celine, you are also going to have to take part in a surprise round. So Gutrug and Vladrick are going to get the jump on you guys. And Gutrug is going to go first, and he's going to wallop on you, Grom.
I'm assuming I don't have my shield.
You don't have any armor.
Yeah, I'd assume I'd have my... I think I would have put my hammers down as well because...
To take your armor
taking off.
Off
armor, yeah. So I have an armor class of 12 currently.
Awesome. All right. Well,
prone, so they have advantage?
Yes. In fact, they'll forego their surprise round in order to get you prone. A 13 to hit.
Hits.
And then the second hit is going to be 18 to hit. So you will take 11 points of bludgeoning damage as Gutrug punches into you. And then Vladrick is going to also pounce on you.
Sounds good.
A 18 to hit.
It's like, take it.
And a 16 to hit.
Both hit.
You will take 15 points of bludgeoning damage on this second one.
Okay. Dude.
And with that, Grom, you are up. You are currently prone. You have two dwarves on top of you who are just... like digging their nails and punching into you.
You'll hear Grom scream out, "You lied!" Firstly, I want to use a bonus action as part of the "you lied" to use second wind.
Wonderful.
So I get a d10 plus fighter level, so 7 points of healing, which isn't bad. And then use my first attack action to... who's on top of me? Is it...
Gutrug and Vladrick are both on top.
Both of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd like to try to just grab... am I grappled? Can I not get up?
You are not grappled. You're just prone. They're just on top of you, okay. Fighting you.
Okay, so I'll, like, get up, and as I'm getting up, I want to do just a melee attack with my horns.
Okay.
Into him as, like, just a headbutt. 13
to hit? 13 will not hit.
Okay. Just come up, and I just want to grab one of them and just punch him in the mouth. Not much better. 14.
A 14 will hit.
Okay.
14 is their armor class. These are unarmored dwarves as well.
Yeah.
But they just have a little bit higher of a dexterity score than you do.
10 points of bludgeoning damage.
10 points of bludgeoning damage. You immediately bloody gut rug in one punch. And he's like, dude, I was taking it easy on you.
And
babe, can you heal me?
I'm going to use an action surge.
Wonderful.
With that hit. And as he's like recoiling back from the strike, I just want to try to punch him again. 16.
A 16 will hit.
11 points of damage.
Go ahead and tell me how you're going to turn out Gutrug's lights.
So they're on top of me. I basically just push off, like scrape them with my horns, punch him once. It's an above punch and just straight down and just knock out into the ground. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, totally.
Like just punching him into the ground.
Gets knocked unconscious and he's sitting there unconscious and Vladrick looks at you and is like, you could have taken a little easier on him. He's okay.
And with that, I will be, he's on the ground. Can I take a kick at him?
Vladrick?
Yeah, yes, with my last attack.
Of course.
So the first roll I got for my last attack was a 4. So this is the second because advantage. 12. I have not rolled above a 10 this entire night.
12 will not hit Vladrick. So he rolls away from you. He's like, you freak. We're trying to be nice to you.
And that'll be it.
And Celine, you are up. You see Gutrug knocked unconscious.
Okay.
Vladrick on the ground. After Grom got attacked by both Gutrug and Vladrick, he got up from being prone and basically taught them a lesson to not mess with him.
Okay. Are the girls in the room?
They are. They're right behind you.
Okay. Are they in initiative?
They're holding their initiative until after you.
Okay. But do they have like weapons out? Like it's obvious they're going to be violent. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to turn to Elka and I'm going to attempt to hit her with my alpike. I didn't like you anyway, but I'm not a narc. I will use my bonus action to hide and then I'm going to use my sneak attack.
Okay.
Is that a nat one?
Another nat one.
I just see it on your face.
In a row?
I did indeed just roll a nat one.
Well, wow. With a natural one, they notice you as you try to hide. And so you will not get your sneak attack, but you can roll your attack straight.
Okay. That was a 2. So that would be 8 to hit.
8 to hit, and 8 will not hit.
All right. Awesome.
Throughout this entire combat, might I add, Brooke and I have not rolled above a 10.
Yeah, like, no.
You had your one natural 20, and I think that's the only roll that tonight we have had that has been above a 10.
Ugh. And with that, it's Gutrug's turn. He's unconscious and unable to get up because he's unconscious. With that, it's going to be Vladrick's turn. Vladrick's going to roll some attacks on you, Grom. He gets a natural 14. Oh, I guess without armor, it's going to hit you.
Most stuff is going to hit me unless they roll less than like an 8.
11 to hit will be the second
misses
one.
Misses with the second one.
Okay, so on the first hit, you will take 11 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And that's going to be the end of Vladrick's turn. And at the end of Vladrick's turn, you notice that both of the girlfriends have kind of been shocked. And after being attacked by Celine, they're going to take their round now after Vladrick. So Elka and Dolga are going to take their turns. And both of them are going to be like, boys, don't fight! And they're going to roll Cure Wounds on Gutrug. So Gutrug will heal for max. Gutrug is back to full and looks at you. Grom is like, it didn't even hurt. Yeah, I'm fine. And with that, that is the end of Elka and Dolga's turn. Grom, you are up.
Vladrick, I'm going to just continue aiming at him. Is he still on the ground or he got up to attack?
Vladrick got up to attack you.
So yeah, I'm going to take a swipe at him. 12.
A 12 will not hit.
I will take another swing at him. Natural 20.
A natural 20 will definitely hit.
That's helpful. I just want to do an uppercut and just try to just hit him square in the jaw, knock like his teeth up into him and hopefully just stun him for a while.
You hit his teeth so hard, you feel the crunch between his jaw and his upper lip and you hear him say, dude, these dentures are new.
Gotta wear a mouth guard.
And 4 plus 4, so 8 points of damage, but I do get a second wind off of that.
Wonderful.
For critting. So 10 points of healing. So I will just use my bonus action. Oh, I have Tavern Brawler, so I can use bonus action to do something else. I'll shove him away from me.
Okay.
Do a shove attack.
Natural 2.
Natural 3, but 10 total.
I'm guessing you win. Yeah, you win.
and so I just shove him 5 feet away from me.
He trips on gut rug and like falls prone. Go ahead and take a point of inspiration.
Thank you. I just want to get next to Celine and the people she's fighting, so we're kind of grouped up.
Yeah, you walk over to Celine with the end of your turn. With that, Celine, you are up. You are face to face with Elka and Dolga, who kind of ran around you to give Gutrug this cure wounds. You are all kind of clustered together as a group at this point.
I'm going to try again to hit Elka. I'm not satisfied with how that went last time. Natural 20.
There we go. You definitely hit. Go ahead and tell me how you hit Elka.
Yes, and I'm going to use a sneak attack as well.
With a natural 20, I'm going to let it cleave between Elka and Dolga. So if you deal over their maximum hit points, it will go on to the other person's hit points as well. This swing is going to hit them both, essentially.
Okay. So then my second sneak attack line is going to be, and by the way, your shoes are hideous.
Oh my gosh.
Let's see.
True damage being done.
The sneak attack is now psychic damage.
Okay, so one.
Her stab wound will heal, but those emotional wounds are permanent.
12 points of damage.
12 points of damage. Go ahead and tell me how you are going to make Elka into a mount on the wall.
Yeah, I know that Grom wasn't going for lethal damage. I didn't get the memo. I was. Wait, do I hit the other girl at all?
Yes, you cleave through into Dolga as well, bloodying her as well.
I'm going to do like a round the head, like swoop with my all pike, and then just like slash all the way across, kind of through Elka all the way to Dolga.
Yeah, you do a skip it of doom above your head.
Yes.
Elka falls to the ground dead. Dolga stands there bloodied and absolutely drained of blood in the face and shocked. And with that, is that the end of your turn, Celine?
Yes, that's the end of my turn.
Gutrug is up, who is newly revived from being unconscious. He's going to stand up and use half of his movement to be unknocked prone and is going to run 15 feet away from you, Grom. Do you take an attack of opportunity as he leaves your space?
23.
A 23 definitely hits.
12 points of bludgeoning damage.
12 points of bludgeoning damage. Gutrug has been dealt his maximum hit points in the last round and then dealt well over bloody this round. He barely gets away from you. Vlad, now! They both press the button on their BFF bracelets that's matching with you. You are instantly transported from Gutrug's fist to Vladrick's fist. To Gutrug's fist to Gladrick's fist. And they're going to get advantage on both of these attacks against you.
Okay.
14 to hit.
It's
a natural 14 to hit.
Hits.
Another natural 13 to hit.
Hits.
A natural 1, and that's it.
Oh, yeah. I think they just have 4 attacks.
Yeah, and so.
Please.
Please.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network, with gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
And the natural 1 will not hit, so that will be 17 points of bludgeoning damage as you just get knocked asunder as you are teleported between these BFF bracelets. With that, that's the end of Gutrug and Vladrick's turn. They seem to have some BFF magic where they're running together. And with that, that's Elka's turn, who is dead. And so Dolga will go, and she looks at her beheaded best friend, Elka, and sobs for a little bit. She's going to do an inflict wounds on Celine.
Oh,
so
dude.
Celine,
inflict wounds is harsh.
Doesn't 17 hit your armor class?
It sure does. So I'm resistant to necrotic damage.
As an Azamar, you're resistant to necrotic damage. I will need you to take 24 halved, 12 points of necrotic damage.
And then I would like to use my uncanny dodge.
Oh, use your reaction
as
to
have a reaction.
Okay, so you only take 6 points of necrotic damage.
That's well done.
Rogue. Awesome. Go Rogue.
Dude, Brooke's getting the rogue down.
Grom, you are up.
Okay, seeing what they did with the bracelets, I kind of want to try to replicate it.
Of course.
So they just like tugged on it.
They pressed a button on it. And you notice that there is a button on yours as well, next to BFF.
Yeah, I just want to click on it as well. And then they just punch through the air, basically. Yep. I'm just going to uppercut as soon as I do and hope it works.
Roll me advantage on both of them.
Oh, wow.
All right. I would have never thought of doing that.
Natural 19.
For natural crit. 19 will hit.
Crit.
Oh, crit. Yeah, definitely champion. Will hit.
Natural 20.
All right. you crit on both of them.
13 points of damage on the first one, which would have been Gutrug, who's running away.
Gutrug falls over extremely dead.
Non-lethal.
Unconscious.
Gutrug falls over extremely unconscious.
I don't want to be killing these people. 9 points of bludgeoning damage to him.
Vladrick gets punched in the face, and you knock out the rest of the sets of his dental implants, and he spits. He's like, "That's not very nice, dude. These are expensive."
Elka is dead. Why don't you worry about that instead of me?
Babe, Elka? My gosh.
As a bonus action, can I attempt to rip the bracelet off myself?
Yes, definitely. Roll me a strength check.
Is an unnatural 20.
An unnatural 20? It's stuck.
Okay, so.
Roll me an arcana check.
17.
With a 17, you know that this is a cursed item that they have placed on you.
Okay. I'll go and...
It's stuck! I'll, like, show to Selene as I'm trying to rip it off.
Yeah, dude, BFF forever. Don't you read the sign?
And I'll just kind of look up at him in confusion and a little bit of shock.
Selene, you are up.
And in the meantime, I'm going to aim at Dolga with my all pike, as per usual, and still try to deal lethal damage to her.
Wonderful.
I am not with the program.
I specify non-lethal, but like you're just like, no, I'm trying to kill this.
11 to hit.
An 11 will hit. They have an armor class of 10.
Yeah, that's gonna, hearing that's those gonna dice. Do it. All ones will do it.
That's 13 points of damage.
Go ahead and tell me how you are going to slash through Dolga, slash through Vladrick. You cleave through the entire battlefield.
Well, it worked so well the first time. I just doubled up on it. I was amped up, waved my alpaca around my head, slashed them both.
And with that, there are 3 dead, 1 unconscious. You guys are out of initiative. Gutrug lays cold and lifeless. And Grom, as you look at Gutrug, you notice that there was, in this back room that they tried to trip you in, on a little mannequin, there is an actual set of mithril armor that says Iron Fist on the back of that. And with that, I think that's where we're going to end our session for the night. My name is Cade, the host and dungeon master of this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition adventure. Grom, go ahead and put mithril armor onto your character sheet.
Okay.
And everyone, you know what? Let's level up. Let's get to level 6,
yeah!
Everyone.
Whoa.
You've put some gods in their places. And so I think that is enough for a level up. And with that, my name is Cade, the host and dungeon master of this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition adventure. And I'm joined here by the players to my left.
Alec playing Zach.
Mason playing Grom.
Marissa playing Ephemia.
And Brooklyn playing Selene.
We didn't get to use them very much this session, but we were sent a very special set of dice to Zag from Metallic Dice Games. They are liquid core dice. We will post all over our TikTok about them. If you want to get 10% off your entire dice order, go to metallicdicegames.com or just click the link that I will provide in our description and use the promo code KNOCKED at checkout for 10% off your entire dice order.
I just want to add to the like their dice are already priced amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and these ones are actually legitimately
cool. They are
very
awesome.
And you know they what? I feel so like there's cool. So many dice websites out there, and you always wonder like, well, the cheaper ones, like, are they good? And like, I don't know. There's all this. I'm telling you, we've partnered with this company knowing that like their prices are super cheap, their quality super good. Plus, you get the 20% off. Like, seriously, holidays are coming up. Go do it.
Holidays are coming up. Their owner literally used to be a partner with Hasbro. He was over the G.I. Joe section. So if you have any 90s nostalgia in you, these dice are going to scratch an itch in your brain that you did not know you had. And does anyone else have anything else to plug?
Thanks again to Metallic Dice Games, because they are awesome. Also, go over to Patreon, subscribe, join. check out Talked Prone and Himbo Guide, Himbo's Guide to Spellcasting that I'm doing now. It is so good.
Extremely excited to listen to that.
So good. He's really, he just sent me episode 2 today, which I will release very soon here. It will be out by the time this episode is out. Episode 2 of Himbo's Guide, where Zag talks about how he went from barbarian to full caster, and it is a wild ride to listen to and very well edited. So great job, Alec.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you remember when life knocks you flat on your back, all you got to do is keep rolling, and we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
We did it. I still can't believe we got this project done so fast and so well.
When I'm in New York,
I'm in Chicago,
and I'm in LA. But
we're making it happen in Miro.
Together.
Our best work just happens faster on Miro's collaborative online whiteboard. No more scheduling meeting after meeting for work that could happen
from anywhere. Whether it's getting design feedback here,
mapping timelines here,
or brainstorming next steps here. It all just happens on the Miro board.
Exactly. And it's nice not having to wait an entire day to get sign off from this guy.
Hey! Well, it is true.
See how Miro users save up to 80 hours every year by meeting less and doing more. Get on board at Miro.com. The first 3 boards are free forever. That's Miro.com.